You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
No, don't check your calendars. It is not April or March or anything like that. It is January the 17th, despite the fact that we have a 53-degree day going on here in eastern Iowa. My best advice, get out and enjoy it. And take the radio and us along here on the Gym Class program on this Friday. Good afternoon, everyone. Great to have you aboard. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me coming up in just a moment. Isaac on the other side of the glass here today. Got a good show coming up for you. Going to give somebody out there a chance to win a $30 gift card with Emil's Hideaway, with the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6. We will get the panel together in about a little bit more than a half an hour from now. And we will pick 6 games. And you are invited to hitch your wagon up to one of the prognosticators if you are the correct caller. And if your picker has the best week, you get a $30 gift card from Emil's Hideaway. So we have that for you coming up in just a little bit. We'll look back at another tough loss for the Iowa women last night. The Iowa men in action. They will be playing at Pauley Pavilion as Iowa and UCLA will go at it. And the NFL divisional weekend is upon us, so a lot to get to. Text line available at 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600. And love to hear from you here today on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. And Mark, good afternoon to you. Hope you're enjoying this one, our brief respite of early spring.
Very much so, Scott. Good afternoon to you guys and everyone out there. And I guess, as we say around these parts, if you like or don't like it today, just wait a couple days.
Maybe even wait 12 hours.
Yeah.
I have a feeling a lot of Christmas lights are coming down today. I have a feeling that might be the case. Tell you what, or as I passed several of them on the way into the station today, it is a banner day for folks with car washes today. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
They are taking full advantage of that. Hi, Isaac. How you doing? You awake?
Yes, I am awake, doing just fine, and excited for a full combat sports weekend.
Yeah, full combat sports.
Yeah,
explain,
please. You got wrestling tonight, Iowa, Illinois.
Yep.
You got women's wrestling tomorrow evening, and then you've got UFC, the first UFC pay-per-view of the year there. So, full combat sports weekend.
I'm in with two of those.
It's not for everyone. I like all combat sports, whether that's boxing, MMA, wrestling. I like it all. I consume all of it.
Yeah. Cyclone Tim says on this warm day, his son and he are going to hockey. Rough Riders in action tonight at home at the stable. And yes, Tim, I did enjoy the picture of Andre the Giant with the comical chokehold on Bob Uecker when Bob Uecker was interviewing him. Of course, we went over a lot of the life and times of Bob Uecker yesterday when we lost the baseball announcing legend and baseball ambassador at the age of 90. So if you missed that, you can go back and listen on our podcasts. They're available at kgymradio.com as well as Apple or Spotify. 319-366-1600. And Mark, we start off with a little college basketball on the women's side from last night. Another toughie for Jan Jensen and the Iowa women. They fall yet again, this time to the Nebraska Cornhuskers at Carver Hawkeye, a less than packed Carver Hawkeye arena, 87-84 in overtime last night. And as the great and legendary Bob Brooks always uttered, make those free throws. And the Iowa women did not make the free throws last night.
Yeah, that clearly was a big difference as Iowa missed missed 13 free throws on the night. And it was another game that Iowa seemed to have in hand a couple times, especially when it led by double digits in the second half. But credit Nebraska. Nebraska's a nice team. And no disgrace to lose in that game. But Iowa's on a skid here. And 2-5 in the Big Ten, facing 2-7 squarely in the face with a trip out west to face Oregon and Washington. But I don't know that this is a dire situation by any means. I mean, Iowa's Big Ten losses by 2, 8, 5, 7, and 3 points. And many of those games were, if not all, were winnable. Iowa just needed a little something extra that Jan Jensen has not been able to squeeze out of these ladies in this stretch anyway. I still think it's an above average team, but not a great team.
I think you're right. And talking, you and I talking earlier on today, I thought you made an excellent point about women's college basketball in this era. This is not Gino Auriemma's Connecticut, maybe a couple more teams, and then everybody else. This is a new era of women's college basketball, as we have seen. And each team has really talented players. The women's game is getting better and better. I mean, these are two teams last night. You can throw Iowa State, lump them into that category as well, of teams outside the top 25 that are pretty darn good and got 4- and 5-star athletes on their squad. It is a fight night in and night out. You can't go into conference play anymore like it was, say, 20 years ago, definitely 30 years ago. And, you know, there are teams, yeah, you got to get up for. There's no doubt. But then there are other nights that, quite frankly, you went out there and you can win without putting a great effort in there. Those days are gone. Those days are gone now. There are a lot of good NCAA women's basketball teams.
Yeah, I think it's something that fans may not realize, that the talent level has really increased. I don't know when it started or when it started the upward, trajectory. Maybe it was the class with Caitlin Clark and people like Paige Beckers and Angel Reese and so many others. But you look around at every team and they're skillful. A lot of it has to do, I think, with the transfer portal. You can help your team tremendously by going into the portal. Certainly recruiting is a big part, but no question about it. More and more teams have more and more talent these days, and it's more difficult to win.
It is, and especially when one aspect of your game is off. And that was the free throw shooting, 55%, 16 of 29 last night for Iowa. Hawks didn't shoot it horribly, 44%, not terrible. Weren't great on three-pointers, 30% last night. Out-rebounded Nebraska, had less turnovers than the Huskers did. But as 7508 on the text line points out, Nebraska made a ton of clutch threes while Iowa missed those. And in a close game, that's what it comes down to a lot of times, as well as free throw shooting. And we're going to get to this point that 7470 on the text line makes, that some fans are being too hard on Jan. It's a process, but it is crazy that this team might not even make the tournament after the way they started the season. There's a ways to go before that possibility, I think, rears its ugly head for the Iowa women. But unless things turn around in a big way, I think the possibility probably of both Iowa and Iowa State hosting the first couple rounds might not happen this year.
Well, it's pure conjecture if Iowa would have pulled out some of these games with Lisa Bluter instead of Jan Jensen. Jan Jensen can't shoot free throws, especially in a big moment. We've seen pictures today of Lucy Olson going out after the game in an empty, mostly an empty arena, practicing her free throws. That's well and good. Good for her, but that's not in front of a near full house with the game on the line. It's not something Jen Jensen can control. You can practice that all you want, but until you're at the free throw line in a big game or want to take a big shot with the game on the line, that's kind of out of the coach's hands.
Now, I will say this. In 67-14 on the text line, bringing this up as well. 15 seconds left, 2-point lead, two fouls to give, and you don't foul early. That is the adage. And with two fouls to give, I must say that I was surprised that Iowa did not give up fouls in that situation. At least one.
Yeah, there was a debate last night whether that was a good strategy or not. I think I would have used the fouls. It's like leaving timeouts, going to the locker room at halftime, or especially at the end of the game. We can debate that till we're blue in the face. It didn't work for Iowa, this particular strategy. Maybe next time out it will be different. I'm with you. I think I would have used at least one foul in that situation.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. Your thoughts about the Iowa women, their loss in overtime to Nebraska in that game last night. You mentioned Lucy Olson, and reading a lot of comments from just the average Joe fan out there, as well as others that are closer to the Iowa women's basketball program, I think there's just a lot of frustration out there right now. And it's fueled by the fact that this team has been on such a high trajectory over the last couple years. And we've said it a million times, there's no number 22 to hit 35 footers for this team this year. And it was going to be different. And also, Lucy Olson was not going to come in with a red cape and an S on the back of that cape and pick this team up and be the Caitlin Clark. It is a different league. The Big East is not a bad basketball league, 96-63, but it is not the Big Ten. And certainly, Lucy Olson wasn't playing outside of Storrs, Connecticut, in front of 14,000 people or 10,000 people or 9,000 people, whatever the case may be. It's a different situation. It takes a little while to get used to, even after the non-conference games. This team is, as of the moment, still in the NCAA tournament. But as you mentioned, Mark, there is a big West Coast swing coming up, Oregon and Washington. Oregon, not quite what they have been the last handful of years, but it is still going out to Eugene and taking on the Oregon Ducks, which have had a great basketball program as of late. So you can't feel bad for yourself if you're the Iowa women. You got to get back, turn this thing around, and hopefully start winning some of these close games.
Yeah, when you lose three or four in a row, you just keep pressing as the losses mount. And I think this team is pressing to a certain extent. I think Lucy Olson probably feels the pressure of, you know, quote unquote, being that next Caitlin Clark. There is no next Caitlin Clark. I don't know that for a fact, but I think a lot of people, given the fact that she finished third in the country in scoring last year, expected pretty much the same from her. Maybe rightfully so, maybe wrongly. I don't know. She's a fine player. I'd want her on my team. I think that it's the collection of players, and maybe Iowa has too many above-average players. I don't know. You know, Ava Hyden didn't play a whole lot last night. I think Guyton is going to be a terrific player. I think Hyden's going to be a terrific player. I think this freshman class is going to do a lot of great things. But mixed right now with the veterans, again, when I mentioned all those fairly close Big Ten losses, just missing a little something, and it's not the same thing every game.
Yeah. 319-366-1600 is 7470 says, Iowa 2-5, got to win both in the West Coast trip, got to go 8-10 to make it, and still have to play USC, UCLA, Ohio State, and Michigan. This is a tough league, and got even tougher when USC and Juju Watkins and number one rated UCLA came in. Not to mention Oregon, as we mentioned, not probably as strong as they have been the last few years, but still a very good basketball program out there. And this is not going to be easy, although the Big Ten is probably going to get their fair share of teams in the women's tournament.
83-31 in the text line. Of course, Caitlin Clark made everyone better. This is not a good shooting team. Offense looks confused. Jan getting out coached early in her career. I don't know. I don't think it is a very good shooting team. Some of the girls have, women, I should say, have their moments. Fierbach had a few moments last night. Guyton will have a moment. I think Affolter will have a few. But again, as I said yesterday, it wasn't just Caitlin Clark last year. It was Kate Martin and Gabby Marshall who could knock down threes in big situations, as they did. I agree with that part of it. As far as getting out coached, when you lose games, that's a good scapegoat line. I really don't know if that's the case.
She can't make free throws.
Nope.
Iowa makes free throws. Iowa makes 70% last night, 68%. They win the game. And it probably doesn't even come down to the wire as much. My thoughts. 319-366-1600-4061 saying the women's team the past few years had players that had played together quite a bit. This team is still gelling. And there are people, I mean, there were so many posts last night and how, oh, that's it. Golden years of Iowa women's basketball are now done. Hey, I don't know if that's the case. It might very well be. Who knows? I don't think so. Iowa women's basketball was pretty good before Caitlin Clark got there, Mark. And I'm pretty confident it's going to be pretty good after Caitlin Clark has departed.
Yeah, the freshmen they're on the team now, they were part of one of the best, if not the best, recruiting classes in the country. And Addie Deal is coming in, one of the best players in the country. And I think Jan Jensen will get those types of players. You're going to have to utilize the portal as well. I think that's going to be a big key in how much Jan Jensen embraces that. I think she does. I think she will. I don't think recruiting is a problem right now.
No. That's the women's side. The men in action tonight in Pauley. It's still going to be played at Westwood, Pauley Pavilion on the UCLA campus. 8 o'clock with the tip-off coming up tonight on FS1 between Iowa and UCLA. Bruins 11-6 and struggling mightily at the present time for Nick Cronin, as they have lost 4 in a row, 3 of those on the road, though. They have only one loss at Pauley, though, and that was the last time out back on January the 7th against Michigan. This is a team that has been jetting back and forth across the country. McCronin has made that very detailed on how many miles and how many hours they have spent in airports and in the air, et cetera, et cetera. He is not happy about it. He called out his team publicly, Mark. And look who happens to show up at Pauley Pavilion for the first time after all this happens. And that would be Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, I view this. Iowa really needs a win in this game. But I don't think it's unlike Iowa having to face Wisconsin when Wisconsin needed its first Big Ten win of the season. And the Badgers came out like gangbusters and hung 116 points on the Hawkeyes. I don't expect UCLA to score that many tonight, but it's not unlike, you mentioned the losing streak that UCLA comes in with, but it has been very good at Pauley Pavilion. I think 8-1 at home. UCLA is a 6.5-point favorite.
Iowa, can they score? Because UCLA, one of the best defensive teams in the Big Ten and the country, they are 18th. As far as giving up points, they only give up 63 a game. Iowa is number one in America now. They have taken over the top spot as far as scoring is concerned at 89.5. But that's the good side of things. The not so good side of things, Mark, 323rd in defense, giving up 78 points. points per ball game. And as you have dictated many times on the road in the Big Ten, it's around the century mark that Iowa is giving up. Just can't do that. Cannot do that, and especially cannot do that tonight. It's a very pivotal game for both of these teams.
Yeah, it is. And Iowa has struggled on the road defensively, no question about it. In only three games, that 116 kind of skews things, but it was 99 allowed against USC. And in a very competitive game at Michigan, I think it was in the mid-80s. So, you know, it's all well and good. You average 89 points a game when you're allowing 100. It doesn't do you any good.
No, it does not. And we'll see. UCLA, obviously, coming off the long road trip with everything going on around the UCLA campus with the L.A. wildfires. I mean, there's going to be a lot of emotion tonight at Pauley Pavilion. We saw how the Rams came out in their game, even though it was moved to Glendale the other night when they took apart the Vikings. Sorry, Cyclone Tim, to bring that up. But they were motivated. Now is UCLA going to be motivated by that, as well as their coach saying they're soft and calling them out? I expect the Bruins to come out of that locker room and really try to take it physically to Iowa tonight.
Yeah, not unlike that Wisconsin matchup that Iowa faced in Madison. I mean, this is a UCLA team that once was ranked number 15 in the country. It's not without talent. It's not without a solid coach. And, you know, we'll see. But you know, going back to what you said, I think UCLA recently had to go to Nebraska, had to go to Maryland.
Rutgers.
You know, that may take a toll as well, in addition to what's going on out there in L.A.
Yeah. 326 and 88-82 as far as one final thought on the women. Might be good for the women to go on the road. Might not be a bad thing, even though it is a long and two-game road trip. All right, we're going to talk about the NFL quickly. We'll get to the pick six as well. Want to get it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, though, at this time. It is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot and behind Johnson Fitness. They're open at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday. And you can dine in, get curbside pickup or delivery, and their delicious menu. You can visit that online at emilshideaway.com. What do we got?
A couple pieces of wrestling news. As expected, the Division II and Division III schools have voted in the affirmative with Division I schools to make women's wrestling a sanctioned NCAA sport. That will happen in 2026. Lenmore High School has announced that one of its alumni, Matt McDonough, the former Lion and Hawkeye star, will be inducted into the Iowa High School Wrestling Hall of Fame. That will take place February 22nd in Des Moines. Women's college basketball, South Carolina's Dawn Staley has signed the richest contract in women's basketball history, an extension through the year 2030, total value of the package, $25 million. In golf, the Genesis Invitational, scheduled February 13th, will not be played at Riviera due to the L.A. fires. A new site has not been named in the rumor mill, Scottsdale, TPC Scottsdale, and perhaps Torrey Pines, but no venue announced as yet. And a dandy in Class 4A boys high school basketball last night. Scott Unash on the call for Lenmar's victory over number one ranked Cedar Falls, 69-61. And CRM Live Sports has another dandy tonight, Scott.
Yeah, Wallard at Kennedy tonight. That should be a good one as well. Lenmar shot it well last night. And Cedar Falls just... they didn't play a bad game. That was a good one last night. Really good game in front of a big crowd. So that was a lot of fun, and expecting another good one coming up tonight. Are you excited about wrestling, Isaac? We're getting closer to a big conglomeration national women's championship of a lot of teams.
I'm very interested to see where next year's NCAAs is going to be held. I feel like it should be held in Iowa again. I think Carver would make a great location, but we'll see if that that ends up happening. Either way, it's a real positive thing, and time for some more power schools to jump on board.
Yes. How quickly? Who do you? And once one starts, I got to think the dominoes are going to fall.
I think Okie State. They have a club down there that they've been kind of pushing for a little bit now, and I know John Smith, before he retired, said that they are taking some steps. They were taking some steps, and then I think COVID kind of threw a wrench into some of those plans. But I wouldn't be surprised if they were soon. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a California school that jumped in pretty fast, whether UCLA, Cal, Stanford, one of those schools. And I'd really like to see a Texas school jump in, just because they have a really good wrestling culture down there. A lot of really good high school athletes over there. So I'd really like to see a school in Texas, a school in California, and maybe Okie State.
Yeah. Iowa State as well.
Yeah.
Iowa State. And if Penn State goes, then I think a lot of them go.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll take a break, come back, and talk about the NFL Divisional Weekend when we return. It's the Friday edition of the Gym Class right here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And there's going to be plenty of sunshine today with plenty of south winds sending temperatures into the mid to upper 40s today. This evening, clouds will be building in. There may be a few sprinkles or flurries as a strong Arctic front moves through and sends temperatures tumbling down. We'll end up in the low teens by tomorrow morning. Wind chills will be around zero and will stay in the teens in the afternoon. Wind chills remain around zero as it stays blustery through Saturday and Sunday. That's your latest Iowa's News. Now, Weather First forecast.
You've been hacked. Your thoughts race. What did they get? What do they want? What does this mean for my customers? My business? Stop. Call NCS. They will have a local engineer on site at your business within 24 hours to help. If you get hacked, call NCS at 319-247-7223. Save it to your contacts. 319-247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. Their people are the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quick Star. And yeah, we know it's warm today, but we are still in the grips of January. And the cold weather is going to return sooner than later. And with that in mind, they've got some great deals going on at your neighborhood Quick Star. Soup bags, keep that in mind. They are on special to heat up on those cold winter days. 36 to 40 ounce bags, $6.99. If you're looking ahead, next Tuesday, also Quickery Cheese Mountain Pizza on special Thursday. And Fridays, thin crust $6.99. Traditional specialty crust are $9.99. Quick and easy dinner ideas for those busy, busy nights. And as always, don't forget to sign up for your Quick Rewards app to order and take care of payment ahead of time. You can pick up your orders in store, or they can be brought to your car curbside with the Quick Rewards app. All that available, and of course, the folks at Quick Star making your life simpler at your neighborhood Quick Star.
Business owners, are you tired of hearing, "I didn't know you were here"? Frustrated that your unique story isn't being told? If your sales are flat or declining, it's time for a change. I'm Stacy Daybault, branding specialist and strategist with KZIA, and I have the solution. Brandsformation is a proven marketing system that delivers results. You'll have an entire team of experts working on your message to inspire and drive sales.
To schedule an appointment, call this station or text BRAND to 76626.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Ugh, leaving for the gym so early?
I'm ready to go.
Since you started taking Nugenix Total T, you've been acting like when we met in our 20s.
I feel like myself again. Lower testosterone after turning 40 slowed me down. Nugenix Total T has been a game changer for me.
What is it about Nugenix Total T that's different?
It's a key ingredient called Tesnor. It boosts free and total testosterone to help you get back the drive and energy from your youth. Total T is backed by 5 clinical studies.
I've seen the huge difference it's made for you in the gym, at work, and in the bedroom.
I'm so glad I sent them a text for my complimentary bottle. Text LION to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. Nugenix is the number one selling testosterone-boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now, and we'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, our newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text LION to 321-321. That's LION to 321-321.
We are back, 3:34, Friday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. Got Iowa State men's and women's basketball coming up this weekend. We've got three of the four NFL divisional battles, all of them except for my Chiefs and the Texans, covered up by basketball. But we'll get you the other games, one Saturday night and two on Sunday for you right here on 1600 ESPN. And Mark, speaking of those games, we are going to pick them coming up in a few minutes here with the Eagles Hideaway pick six when we get the panel together. But is there one game in particular that you are looking forward to? I think I know the one I'm looking forward to, besides the Chiefs, obviously, but that America is also looking forward to.
No question, the Ravens and the Bills. It's pretty much a toss-up game at Buffalo. Two cold weather teams weren't going to play in cold weather. I'm fascinated by that game. I also, looking at some of these games and the point spreads, kind of curious point spreads to me. I don't want to reveal my picks, but I'm going to ask you, Scott, and I was with a woman last night who was a big Chiefs fan like yourself. In fact, she'll be at the game tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
I was at Emil's yesterday talking to Jamie. Jamie and she's going to be at the game tomorrow. And I asked her, which team do you not want to play in the next round should the Chiefs win?
Ooh.
And I won't tell you what she said until you answer.
What team would I rather play? Well, let's see. Baltimore's mad because they lost by a centimeter on opening night. Buffalo's mad because they just don't beat the Chiefs in the playoffs. So far, knock on wood at Arrowhead. I'd still take my chances, I think, with Baltimore. What did Jamie say?
She would disagree with you.
Ah!
She would rather play the Bills at home in Kansas City. She wants nothing to do with Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Isaac, you don't have a pick, unfortunately, in the pick six. So who do you like, Baltimore or Buffalo?
I think I'm going to take Buffalo because of the home field advantage, and you know how those Buffalo Bills fans get. They're a little bit rowdy, a little bit crazy. So I'll probably take them. But I think it's very interesting. I think there's kind of a circular thing in the AFC where I think Baltimore is a terrible matchup for Buffalo. I think Buffalo is a bad matchup for Kansas City, and I think Kansas City is a terrible matchup for Baltimore. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if Baltimore won this one and Chiefs fans were kind of like, we feel confident against Baltimore just because, I don't know, thorn in their side, for whatever reason, Lamar really struggles against Kansas City.
They've got a good scheme against Lamar. Steve Spagnuolo does.
And Josh Allen, he's proven he can play, at least. Like, I don't want to say that Lamar can't play against Kansas City, but Josh Allen's had big games against Kansas City in Kansas City.
He has. Yeah,
he wasn't the reason they've lost some of those games, I should say.
No, you were right. I just hope to win tomorrow and let the chips fall where they may. That's all I'm asking, and that's all I'm hoping for at this present time. But I think, there's a reason Baltimore and Buffalo is the last game of the divisional round, Mark, because I think that's the one that, not to belittle the other games, but I think that is the one that everyone is pointing toward, that 5:30 game on Sunday.
No, you can make an argument for the other three on various fronts, I think. You know, how are the Rams going to travel cross country to play the Eagles after Saquon Barkley, you know, torched them during the regular season? And can Jaden Daniels continue doing what he does against a really good Lions team? And how about this Texans team? You know, they made a run last year, a bit of a run, and Kansas City with, starters haven't really played since Christmas.
No, that's what I'm kind of worried about, that first quarter tomorrow. How much rust is going to be there? Because there is going to be some rust. As you mentioned, these starters have not played in a long, long time for the Chiefs. So we'll see. Snow in the forecast for both Philadelphia and especially Buffalo on Sunday. which could play a factor into it. We'll find out. We're going to find out our picks next. It is the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6. Going to give somebody out there a chance to win a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway when we return after this here on 1600 ESPN.
Robinhood Gold members can now enjoy the VIP treatment, receiving a 3% IRA match on annual retirement contributions. With Robinhood Gold, the perks of the high net worth are now available for any net worth. The new gold standard is here with Robinhood Gold. To receive a 3% boost on annual IRA contributions, sign up at Robinhood.com/gold.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold $5 a month for 1 year from first match. Must keep funds in IRA for 5 years. Go to Robinhood.com/boost. Robinhood Financial LLC member SIPC. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at GetEthos.com. That's GetEthos.com.
Back at 3:40 on a Friday edition of the Gym Class, 1600 ESPN. Time for the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6, brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. Open at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday. Good thing it's not open Sunday because Jamie's not going to be there this week. She's in Kansas City for the Chiefs game. I knew that would be the case. She goes quite a bit down there to Arrowhead. So we welcome in Dave. How you doing, Dave?
Fine, thanks. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And Mark, Dave was a big winner last week.
He was. Dave with a fine 5-1 week, and the panel were really solid. But Dave prevailed at 5-1, so Dave will make the first pick. Welcome in Spencer as well.
Hello, I'm here.
First game is tomorrow. The Texans at the Chiefs, and Kansas City favored by 7.5, Dave.
Well, this is a rematch of a late-season game that Kansas City won 27-19. The Chiefs are getting cornerback Jalen Watson back, and with him in the lineup through week 7, they were a top-8 NFL defense against the pass. Without him, they were a bottom-8 pass defense. The Chiefs were undefeated at home this year. They're like 25-4 off of a bye. They are 7 straight games without a turnover. Houston is missing 2 of their top 3 receivers. C.J. Stroud is 0-5 on the road against playoff teams. His touchdown to INT ratio is 3-4. His passing rating is under 72%. Give me the home team to win and cover.
Jamie told you. Jamie told you to say all that stuff, right?
I can't lie.
I thought, Deb, you were going to go, psych, that's why I'm picking the Texans. No. What Dave said, the Texans defense can keep them in the game. The Texans offense, even though they looked a lot better against the Chargers last week, I think the Chargers were chargering, and Justin Herbert and his, 4 picks last week had something to do with the offensive outburst, the scoring outburst. Chiefs are just too good, and I'm not going against the Chiefs in Arrowhead in the playoffs, so give me the Chiefs.
Scott?
We can do this very quickly. Chiefs.
Houston, no.
Chiefs.
I like the point spread here, 7.5. The Chiefs are not exactly an offensive juggernaut. And I think Houston's defense can keep them in the game. Wouldn't be surprised if Kansas City rolls, but I'm going to take a chance with Houston in the 7.5 for them. Game 2, Spencer is up. It also is tomorrow. Washington at Detroit, and the Lions favored by 9.5.
Why do I always get the toughest ones to lead off? You gave me the Packers last week, and you gave me this one this week. Anyways, the Lions with rest, getting healthier, that scares me, but I still feel like 9.5 is a little too high for a playoff game. Jaden Daniels is unfazed by the big moment. I think the Lions win, but they win by, let's say, 8 in the game. So I'm going to take the Commanders to cover that 9.5 tomorrow.
Scott?
Lions getting David Montgomery back, and this crowd is going to be amped to the nth degree tomorrow. And I like Detroit. I think they could win this thing by a couple touchdowns. I'm gonna go with the Honolulu Blue at home to win by more than 9.5.
I'm gonna ride with Spencer and his Washington pick, not because I think the Lions are gonna be the latest NFC North team to lose. I think Detroit will win, but Jaden Daniels with 6 fourth quarter comebacks this season, one I don't want to remember. And yeah, Montgomery's back, but how much will he play? Gibbs is a great running back, but I just think it's too many points. Give me Washington. Dave.
Well, the Lions had the better defense for the full season. They really faltered down the stretch. From weeks 13 to 18, Detroit was 28th in EPA play on defense, and they have had trouble getting turnovers. The Lions have only 5 takeaways since their streak of 11 straight games with a turnover to start the season got snapped. In weeks 15 to 17, they gave up passing yardage of 362, 323, and 400 before shutting down Sam Darnold in week 18. And we saw what Darnold did last week against the Rams. Give me the Commanders and the points to cover.
Oh, me and Dan Campbell.
Lion Island.
On Lion Island, figure out 4th and 5 plays.
All right, Scott, you're first up with the first Sunday game. It's going to be the Rams at the Eagles in Philadelphia, favored by 6.5.
Could be snow. Rams got to make a trip across country after coming back from Glendale with all the emotion. I think maybe behind them a little bit. We'll have to wait and see. I like all the intangibles here for the Philadelphia Eagles. So I think the Eagles are going to win this maybe by a couple touchdowns. That's my theme this week, by a couple touchdowns.
Okay, I'm going to go with Philadelphia as well. I wish the best for Matt Stafford. I really like to see him go far, but I think the fact you're traveling across country, and I don't think Barkley's going to put up 255, but I think the weather is going to be a problem, and Philadelphia's better suited in that type of game. So I'll go with Philadelphia. Dave.
The Eagles have the better team, the better O-line, the better run game, and the better team on and off track. Matthew Stafford is 1-8 in rain or snow games. His touchdown to turnover ratio is 14-11, and his passer rating is 76%. And the Rams have allowed 124 plays of 20 yards or more. Give me the Eagles to win and cover.
Dave consulting Jim Cantore.
I'm going to get the brooms out and make it a sweep. My Eagles are just the better team. I like Saquon Barkley. I think better run game. And like Mark said, they're not going to go for 255, or he's not going to go for 255. But I think the Eagles get the job done.
All right, game 4, and I am up first. Spencer, I actually have the toughest pick.
True, yes.
You may have.
It is Baltimore at Buffalo, premier game of the weekend in many's minds. Sunday, the Ravens favored by 1.5. I like Josh Allen in big games better than Lamar Jackson, but I can't get away from the fact that neither team is going to be fazed by cold weather. It's Baltimore and Buffalo. When it's that kind of conditions, who's got the better running game? And that's Baltimore. So I will take Baltimore here. Dave.
The wrong team favored here. The Bills are getting points. They're undefeated at home this year. They are giving up the fewest sacks. and have 13 games of having scored 30 or more points. This is Josh Allen's best team and opportunity to get to the Super Bowl. Give me the Bills and the points to cover.
All right, Spencer.
Yeah, tough is the word with this one. I agree with what you said about the run game for Baltimore, but, I mean, the Bills getting points at home, that's too tempting to pass up. So I'm gonna circle the wagons like the Buffalo Bills and hope I'm correct.
Scott.
I like the fact that Milano is back. He's the captain of that defense for the Buffalo Bills. And being at home, going to be a big factor. I don't know who I trust more, but I think I trust Josh Allen more. And I think the fact that there are a lot of veterans on this Buffalo team, and it's kind of now or never, in my opinion. I hope it's never next week, but I'm going to go Buffalo this week. I'm gonna run with the Bills here.
All right, sounds good. Game five. Let's not forget about the college football national championship. We got a couple picks for the Ohio State Notre Dame game. Dave, you're first up, and our first option is the over/under line on the Ohio State Notre Dame game. It is 45.5. We just need an over or an under.
This game means a lot to both teams. Two very good defenses. I like the under here as they feel each other out.
Okay, Spencer.
Two good defenses. Part of me wants to try the over just because Ohio State might break a fumble return from Jack Sawyer late in the game to push the total over. But I'm going to go with the under just because I think both defenses are really good. I think Ohio State has a little bit more on offense than Notre Dame, but I still think it stays low scoring. So I'll go under.
Scott.
For that reason, and I don't know if it's Jack Sawyer, but it could be. It, why not? He's done everything else so far. Notre Dame, one of the best in the country, if not the best in the country, of causing turnovers and taking advantage of them. I think there are going to be some big turnovers in this game. I'm going to creep with the over in this one.
Yeah, this is a really tough. You're talking about seven touchdowns in a national championship game, and I agree with Spencer and Dave about the defenses. But I just have a hunch on the over on this one, and it'll probably end up at 45. last pick and the tiebreaker. Spencer, you get both to round things out. It is the game itself. Ohio State favored by 8.5 over Notre Dame. And the tiebreaker, combined passing yards for Will Howard and Riley Leonard.
Sticking with my defensive comment earlier, I'm going to take Notre Dame to cover the 8.5. I've seen a lot of people on the side of Ohio State on the national scene, just considering how dominant they've been throughout the postseason. But again, I think the Notre Dame defense is good enough to keep them in the game. I still think Ohio State wins. I think they're the better team. They have more weapons on offense and more health on offense, really, for this game. So I'll take Ohio State to win, but I think Notre Dame's going to cover. I worked out some math, and I don't know how good my math is. I'm terrible at these tiebreakers. I'm terrible at picks, period, this year. I'm going to go – let's just do an even 400. How about that?
How about that?
I like it. Scott.
I am contractually obligated by my profession to watch this game. That's pretty much the reason, the only reason why I'm going to watch the game. No, it should be a good one. And I think it's going to be closer than people think. And I think Notre Dame's got a shot at this thing. I'm going to take those 8.5 points. I will take Notre Dame on Monday night. And I'm going to go a little bit higher. I'm going to go a nice round 444 for the combined passing yards.
Okay, I truly believe Ohio State's motivation started the day after, maybe the minute after that loss to Michigan. Ohio State's been on a mission, and I think the national championship now within reach. Notre Dame is a great story. Its head coach is a great story. The whole works of the Irish are a great story, but I just think Ohio State's going to complete the mission in kind of convincing fashion here. I'll take Ohio State, give the points, and combine passing yards for these two quarterbacks. I will go 466. Dave.
Ohio State leads the nation in takeaways, and they have nine straight games of allowing 20 or less points. Give me the Buckeyes to win and cover. 401.
Oh, ah, you see what he did,
on.
Spencer?
I had a feeling that would happen.
I thought you were friends.
Yeah, come on, Dave.
All is fair in love, war, and picks. That was a OG going back to Tyler Ryder days. He would do that every week.
That's why
I take one.
Yeah, I feel like I should announce. I reserve the right to give my tiebreaker last. It's not my segment, not my show, but I feel like I need to just hijack it one week and let's do it.
Hey Spencer, anything under 400, you're good.
What?
Anything under 400, you're good, Spencer.
There you go. Yeah.
All right.
All you got to do is win the weekly.
Yeah, well,
I haven't been doing that either.
All right, we will take four contestants right now at 319-366-1600. If you have been a contestant over the last four-week period, please do not call in. Otherwise, you're eligible. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Dave, have a great weekend. Best of luck with your picks, and we will look forward to next week.
Thank you, and good luck to everyone in their picks.
You bet. And we got Spencer on sports next. What do we got?
Yeah, we'll talk about some college hoops, plenty more NFL talk, make some more picks, and the always popular more. We've got it for you.
Ah, looking forward to it. All right, have a good weekend. And Mark, have a good weekend as well. We're back on Monday. We'll preview the national championship. A lot of basketball, a lot of NFL football to talk about and digest on Monday. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, you as well. We'll talk then.
Yep. And again, 319-366-1600 as the phone lines are buzzing here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Have a great weekend, everybody. Back with you on Monday at 3 with the Gym Class.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous?